Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, there are no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville.
You bunch of radio listeners, you.
Woo-hoo. Tuesday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Ben T in the house. We got you covered for the next 3 hours. For the best in sports and entertainment. No, I don't,
yeah.
I'm not sure why I said that. We're going to do a show. We hope you enjoy it. We hope we don't choke and blow it.
Wow. Bad history.
I think we're at that that point of the year.
We're
Kress.
There.
Where
NBA.
The NBA game I did not watch is the lead story.
Life. Oh me, oh life. Tis the season.
It was a couple years ago, I think. John Reed was on 3 and Out with us, making his fan run debut. And I said, John, what NBA team should I pull for? And we debated a few, and I settled on the Milwaukee Bucks.
The Buccaneers.
Not those Bucks.
Oh, sorry.
They get shot in
the dollar bills.
You know. Gutted and
those
thrown in the back of the truck. Bucks.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Male deers.
Yeah. Yes.
Got it. I knew that.
And then earlier this year, I said, you know what? I know people that play national only Major League Baseball fantasy football. Wait. Major League Baseball, National League only fantasy baseball.
Okay.
We get the sports right here. It's kind of tough. Bounce from one to the other.
I was confused.
I was like, why can't I just be an NBA Eastern Conference only fan? Eastern Conference Finals roll along. That's my championship. I will not acknowledge that the other half of the league exists once the playoffs begin. I'll see if my Bucks can bring home the championship.
The title. And then lose it.
Title Town, we call it.
Yeah, Title Town.
Good old Milwaukee.
You know, it's pronounced Milwaukee.
I've never been there. You been to Milwaukee?
No.
I'll have to put that on my list, I guess.
I've been to St. Paul, the airport there,
oh,
for a minute. I think that's about it.
Okay.
Milwaukee.
But anyway, now I guess with the Golden State Warriors blowing game two of their first round matchup, I guess we have to turn our attention a little bit to the Western Conference.
You know, read a stat that 110 times in the playoffs, NBA teams leading by 14 heading into the fourth quarter. 110 straight times they had won until last night.
14 in the fourth.
Until last night. The Golden State Warriors allowed a comeback and fell at the hands of Pat Beverly, And the Clippers. It was 31-point comeback.
The final score was 135-131. The Clippers get the road victory.
Big defensive affair.
How do you choke away a 31-point lead at home?
You give up 44 points in the third and 41 in the fourth. That's how you do it.
That's a whole basketball game.
Yeah.
I believe they had 76 in the first half, which was their second best performance ever in a half.
73. Yeah. And then they give up 85 in a half. Ooh. Not good. Also not good, Boogie Cousins. Quad injury. Might be done for the year. Likely done for the year. Certainly done for the rest of this series. Kevin Durant continues to be super flustered by Patrick Beverley. Durant fouled out last night. And he fouled out late. It wasn't like the biggest deal. Played 34 minutes, 5 of 8, 11 of 12 from the free throw line, had 21 points. Steph Curry had 29, but DeMarcus Cousins, 4 minutes, 2 points, torn quad, potentially. Not great for the Golden State Warriors, who just a week ago, everybody was taking Golden State over the entire field.
The whole field.
They're a little bit different now, but they're still the Warriors.
Yeah, this isn't going to matter, right? I mean, it's fun to talk about them choking a game away, but like, I mean, what I mean is, it's not going to
probably
matter
not in this,
in this
series,
series,
but they're probably going to get the Rockets next series. Like, that's happening very fast. That's happening so quick because the Rockets are the 4 seed. So it's possible that even if Cousins can come back, if he has to miss a few games of that series, it's very possible that the Rockets are able to take advantage and jump out. Rockets are pretty damn good. And they've been kind of a bother for the Warriors lately. That's probably that might be their toughest matchup in the playoffs. And they would get him in the second round coming off of the DeMarcus Cousins injury. Not great timing for the Golden State Warriors. But yeah, last night, just an epic choke job. They scored 23 points in the fourth.
Who
are they?
41-23 in the fourth quarter.
That's how you lose games right there, Pot. That's it. In case you were wondering, give up 41 and score 23. Not great. Not great at all. Good job on the NBA talk. Moving on. Where are we staying? Philadelphia won too. They scored 145 points. Beat Brooklyn. That series is now 1-1. They scored 51 points in the third quarter alone. 51 in a quarter. I'd say that's pretty good.
I mean,
the amazing thing of these,
really hate
like,
the high scoring games.
They only hit 9 threes.
I only hate them when they're not close. I mean, I do watch the NBA playoffs, not typically glued to the first round necessarily. I kind of keep my eye on it, but like, I don't mind the high-scoring games. It does feel like over the last 5 to 6 years, though, that these high-scoring games have led to less close games at the end. I mean, we had series go 6 and 7 games the last couple years, and not one game was close.
Yeah.
Which is kind of frustrating if you're the, I don't know, NBA league office. Like, it's nice to have a nice long series where it ebbs and flows, but you kind of want at
you
least
need
some
drama, right? Yeah.
Need
some of the games to be halfway good.
Maybe this is the Warriors just saying, look, no lead is safe. You guys should stay tuned, even when we're up 30, because we might blow it. So they got that going for them, I guess. But there you go. The NBA playoffs have begun.
Full swing.
Officially.
They're in full swing.
Once the Warriors lose the game in the playoffs, I feel like that's
when the playoffs really begin.
Yep. It's like the second nine of Augusta.
Yes. Agree. It's very well said.
The NBA playoffs begin when the Warriors lose their first game.
In other big news.
Started early this.
Alex Ovechkin may have killed a man.
Oh, man.
Did you see this fight?
Yes.
You want to call it a fight?
Svechnikov.
It was for a second. They were both punching.
For like 2 seconds, it looked pretty even. And then Ovechkin just prong. And the guy did the Rock'em Sock'em Robots head. And then just the arm, what's that called? It's when your arms go straight out, something effect, or?
I don't know, man.
It's where your, don't you have a Google machine over there? You know what I'm talking about? How when guys get knocked out, their arms stiffen up?
Mm-hmm.
That poor guy. Absolutely decked. They have to leave their helmets on now. Probably safe, because probably saved him on the whiplash. Mm. Banging against the ice. But in the real hockey news I wanted to talk about was the Preds. Stole game three last night. They defeated the Dallas Stars 3-2. They now lead the series 2-1. Which is good for Davey, because Davey's got game five tickets in Nashville.
Did it feel good?
Yeah, they looked pretty good last night. Pekka had an incredible game. He had 40 saves.
He's had a couple games lately where it's just like, dude, whoa. As long as we don't have to play the Penguins, feel pretty good about the Preds' chances. Something about those stupid Penguins.
Grimaldi had a really good goal in the second.
Preds scored two goals in the second. Gave up one to Dallas. Gave up one to Dallas in the third, but also matched that in the third to win 3-2. Congrats to the Preds, who avoid... I don't know. That would have been a really, really tough start. I mean, wasn't it overtime in game two?
Yeah. I mean, they almost went down 2-0 in the series.
Yeah, that would have been brutal.
That would have been awful.
They'd have been done.
And now they've taken the series lead. One more in Dallas and then back to Nashville for game five. Is that correct, Davey?
Yes.
Always good to go on to someone else's.
That's a huge
ice.
Win. Huge win.
I almost said turf. That's not accurate.
Into their building. On the rink.
Yeah. This is our rink now. NBA and NHL. This is what we live for in mid-April and beyond.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank goodness for
that. That's what makes this show so good, is the way we can just bounce seamlessly, accurately, and with in-depth knowledge between all the sports. No one does it better. In Major League Baseball, just kidding. Just kidding. Sorry, there's some things we can't do them on this show.
I run down the scores.
I apologize. You know, is that what we're going to do now?
I think you should.
We're going to do what that other station does, just read the scores?
No, I think you should bring in – it would be funny to bring in a list of ways teams beat other teams. I always like when the guys read, like, 18 scores, you know. So he's like, you know, the Orioles demolished the Red Sox 8-1. The Mets edged the Phillies 7-6.
Yeah.
The Cubs put a hurting on the Marlins 7-2. So like you have to continue to come up with new ways.
Baltimore bashed Boston 8-1. That's kind of fun. We should just make fun of people who do that.
Get a thesaurus and come up with the most craziest ways to
explain
Toronto.
This is important though.
Winning 5-3 over Minnesota.
This is
I know
important.
You were on the edge of your seat during that one yesterday.
Wait, who?
Exactly.
That was my point.
What's important?
I was going to try to find Ben T's Astros. They didn't play yesterday? Wow. A rare day. What are the odds of that? Ben T an Astros update, it's their off day. Great. Blew it. But the Texas Rangers did win 12-7.
Is the fencing response what you were looking for?
What?
The fencing response. That is what I'm getting as far as your arm stiffening up.
When you get knocked out,
yes.
Yes, that's it. Fencing? Really?
I mean, I've just kind of been going down a deep dive here and looking at what happens to the body when you get, fencing, like, on guard, sir. Like that type of fencing.
Well, how does that make sense?
I don't know.
Huh. All right.
Apparently, there's a disconnection once you're knocked out and the brainstem expands, and for some reason that's what happens.
The forearms are held flexed or extended for a period lasting up to several seconds after impact. It's a peculiar position of the arms following a concussion.
Yes, it does not look natural.
No, it does not. If you've watched any sports with any contact, you know that when those arms go up, that dude ain't playing anymore. Or at least he shouldn't be, depending on team doctors and coaching, those types of things. But yeah, old buddy last night, Svechnikov, he got freaking decked by Alex Ovechkin. You don't want to mess with Oivy. I don't think I've ever seen anyone just get... I mean, there's a lot of fights in hockey, less than there have been, but man, I don't think I've ever seen anyone just get completely cold-clocked, that fight did not last long.
This shouldn't come as a surprise, but did you know that Ovi doesn't drink water or Gatorade on the bench?
What does he drink?
Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew.
thought you were going to say vodka.
No, I mean.
Possibly, but he wouldn't admit that.
No, it's Dr. Pepper, I swear. It's not mixed with anything.
He didn't admit that. Somebody was telling me about.
Dr. Pepper?
They were listening to an interview, and one of the guys that used to play with them was, like, going for his water bottle one time. And, of course, like, I mean, he's just in the middle of a hockey game, and you would be surprised whenever you're trying to get some water or Gatorade, and it just happens to be Dr. Pepper. So he asked him about it. He's like, yeah, it's, like, either Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew is usually his choice of drink.
Russians are weird.
He doesn't drink any water during a hockey game.
I mean, he might but also, that's not what's in his designated water bottle.
I mean, I'm sure he hydrates well before the game. But during the game, he likes a little, he got a little sweet tooth.
There was a playoff game one time with like a minor league hockey, and it went so long, like fans were asleep in the stands. Like it was, you know, like 1 something in the morning. And apparently during the you know, it just kept going. It was a sudden death, but just no one could score once it went to overtime. So just intermission after intermission. And they said by the end of it, the guys were just like pounding Coke and coffee and just like any caffeine they could just to – I mean, they just threw all nutrition out the window at that point.
Is it cold cocked or cold clocked?
Oh, that's a great question. Hey, you're
John Tweed says he can't tell who's talking anyways. Is it cold cocked? I think both are probably acceptable. Man, maybe it's just he got clocked and he got cold cocked. Cold clocked.
I don't think.
I don't think you get cold clocked version.
I think you get clocked.
Well, you get your clock cleaned. That's one.
That's what I'm saying.
So you can get clocked. Oh, he got clocked. Right? Isn't that one?
Cold cock is cold. And cold clocked.
Cold clocked. Queequeg's coffin. Cold clocked. Cool whip. What do you got?
Cold cock is cold cocked is. Popping up more on the official definition stuff.
Okay.
But cold clocked is also, I mean, that's popping up for like a dictionary.
I said cold clocked. So it does work. Take that, John Tweet. Cold clocked.
Yeah.
Bosco.
People use both. I don't know if you want to. You know.
I use both. Interchangeable. Gotta love it.
I was watching a Netflix Jeopardy episode a while back, and you're champing at the bit was one of the
champing,
the
not chomping.
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna go through like idioms and similes all day, and just
we might as well.
Yeah, tis April. Did you rewatch any of the Orange and White game yesterday? Have you done your thorough rewatch deep dive?
No, just parts of it.
No,
okay. Davey, no go. I didn't either.
I watched it Sunday, so I was like, I was pretty fresh. I didn't really think there was anything worth bringing back up for it.
I mean, I wanted to say...
Well, it's Optimism Tuesday. We hadn't teased that yet, but I did want to... I don't know. I figured at some point maybe we could take, I don't know, like 30 seconds and say one thing we're thankful for from the Arch of Light game. Like, can we find one positive? Can we find something that's good?
Oh, come on. I thought it got better as they went.
I mean, our show yesterday was pretty negative. It was not the most optimistic show. And I just want people to be aware that I'm not down in the dumps. I'm not out. There are positives. So maybe at some point today we'll think about.
Well, I mean, it got better something. As it went. I mean, it almost felt like they didn't know. It almost felt like that they had no, like they hadn't scrimmaged at all during spring practice. It seemed like it started. And the offense was just like, oh, gosh, we haven't actually done this at all. And maybe, I mean, I know they scrimmaged, so they have. But maybe there was that just kind of, I mean, maybe they were just really kind of rusty. And maybe Jeremy Pruitt bringing all those blitzes, you know, didn't help.
Just cheating a little bit, telling them exactly where to go.
Well, that too.
Hey, if Ansley's calling the plays, he's going to be able to do that a lot more this year.
Yeah, Pruitt will be.
Hell, that stole you a, did that force an interception at Auburn? Was that the play he blitzed the corner? And old buddy rolled out and threw a pick.
Yeah, I think so. Because he about got sat. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I'm okay with that. I'd be fine with Jeremy Pruitt being able to be a little bit more hands on with the defense because he's not having to signal in the play calls.
Mm-hmm.
There didn't seem to be any type of issue in that regard. By the way, with Ansley signaling him in, I did notice he was He had a couple new signals I hadn't seen.
No?
Not that I have any clue what they are. I never saw Pruitt do those last year, and he looked pretty comfortable doing it. So I guess we feel good about the fact that we're going to get the play sent in, right? And Jeremy can do, you know, coach things as opposed to coordinator things.
Yeah, I guess this is just a note on that as well for the offensive side. Of course, Jim Chaney was calling the plays for both the orange and the white team, so he didn't really have an opportunity to talk with the quarterbacks once they did come off the field if he was looking for them to possibly make several adjustments once they were in, because he's just having to keep on calling plays. So maybe there were things you might have saw that would get fixed sooner rather than later if it were an actual game situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he had a break to go and look at, you know, aerial photographs or, as Davey mentioned, kind of talk with the quarterbacks, which would kind of make sense as to why maybe it took a little bit of time to ramp things up. But then, yeah, I think things got going. They started putting some things together. Just throw it deep to Dreds and Juwan Jennings, and I feel pretty good about your offense. I did see Jarrett Garantano say Jim Chaney wants to be more explosive this year, like more chunk plays. So that has to be just vertical shots, right? Like, that's just going to be the thing.
I mean, we
ain't going to get them running the ball.
Yeah, don't you feel like you have to take advantage of those if you're going to win with this line?
Well, I think you've got three receivers who can win a one-on-one and, geez, sometimes double-team battle down the field. Protection is the only issue I would worry about in that regard.
Yeah.
But I thought last year they missed some opportunities to just drop back and throw it up.
Yeah, we've talked about how with this team it's very difficult for what we've seen so far and expecting them to just kind of control the tempo on offense and just methodically move the ball down the field.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
So, yeah, you're going to need big plays here and there, so trying to get chunk plays.
It was weird that they didn't do it more last year. Like against Missouri, Keller Chris goes in there. That was like all he did was just like back foot, lob to Jennings, back foot, lob to Callaway. I mean, we had big play after big play after big play. It's like, where has this been? You've got guys who win that. Why would you not just trust your receiver? Jim Chaney, in his time here at least in the past, not afraid to just take advantage of those one-on-ones, throw it to a big-time receiver, and let him go make a play.
Yeah, I don't know if that was more defense dictated, if it was, you know, if
I mean, if you can get pressure with four, you got two safeties. Well, it's tough to.
Yeah, and it seems like it seemed like last year you could stop Tennessee's running game with just five in the box. Six in the box.
Yeah, you didn't see them loaded a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you could just sit in your nickel and pretty much play the run that way, and then still have guy. I'm not sure what Auburn was thinking, how they got left on an island so often in that game.
No idea.
But it worked out, and Tennessee was able to win
that
actually,
game. Actually, we do know because we nailed that.
Yeah.
They go zone, man, and that was where we were best. We got man on third down. What was third down that day? Wasn't it something stupid, like 11 of 13 or something on third down?
Well, and all the third downs were like
third and 8, 9, and then you hit huge plays on them.
Yeah, you had a couple that were plus 10.
Played right into our hands. Who was Auburn's defensive coordinator last year? Steele?
Yeah.
Kevin Steele?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Rough day.
Yeah, a bad day for that guy.
I mean, it looked a lot better even after that in certain games, times.
I think I had him in the playoff before the season started.
Playoff? Mm.
That was one of my can't win them games for the Vols. Oops.
Well, how about some optimism? I just watched that first down of the Orange and White game for the Garantano offense, the White offense. Three straight run plays with two tight ends. I don't know if you remember that. Mm. Just ran two zone plays up in there. First one got like 6 yards. And then on third down, a little pin and pull sweep. Got about 2 yards, barely got the first down. But hey.
First, move the chains.
Move those sticks.
Move them.
Let's go.
No three and out. Except here. Right now.
Well, we have a defensive coach, so this actually works really well.
Yeah.
Three and out.
Mm. It's our show name is what I was getting at.
Yeah, I don't know. That was the motto for Jeremy Pruitt,
right.
Derek Ansley's mm-hmm. defense.
We should print shirts, show a logo, and that's what we want when we watch the balls. Makes perfect sense.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us. You're listening.
We have more.
Three
Are
and
sure?
out right here on.
Let's find it.
Fan Run Radio.
Right now.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Well, despite, you know, Neyland Stadium being full, or whatever exact verbiage Jeremy Pruitt used trying to drum up fan interest, which, as we've said, is fine. It's what you should do. Just don't get mad at fans if they, you know, if you set unrealistic expectations and then they don't meet them. But it still seemed like a pretty good recruiting list. We have gone through all the, you know, the visitors that came in for the orange and white game. You had good weather. It seemed like there were a few guys tweeting out how much fun they had. Tank, the running back.
Tank Bigsby.
Mm-hmm. Not Tank McCullough.
No.
The guy who already plays for us.
And not
two interceptions.
Bigsby Williams.
Yeah, not
Bigsby Williams.
Not that guy.
No.
LSU
senior. Gone.
But anyway, Tank seemed to have a fun time. And then Jimmy Callaway committed. 3-star receiver from
Joey Callow, Callo.
Morrow, Georgia.
Love those Georgia guys. We just keep we just stay in that place.
He's a pretty low ranked 3-star. Outside the top 700 nationally. I mean it is kind of early in the process with some of these guys. 5'11", 166.
Gained a pound. Good for him. Where are you?
He's a corner.
Okay.
I don't know. Just seems
He committed. You should probably say that.
Did I not say that?
I don't think so. You just started talking about him.
Jimmy Callaway, 5'11", 166, cornerback, committed.
There you go.
To Tennessee over the weekend. And adds another for their 2020 class as they get the recruiting ball rolling. The other schools interested.
Go on.
Not.
He's a diamond in the rough. We got in on him early. That brings Tennessee's 2020 class to 6 commits, currently ranked 23rd nationally, 8th in the SEC. Headlined, of course, by Harrison Bailey and Dominic Bailey. No relation. Harrison Bailey, pro-style quarterback, 6'4", 220, Marietta, Georgia. Dominic Bailey, D-tackle, 6'2", 290, Baltimore, Maryland. Dominic Bailey was also in over the weekend. He seemed to really enjoyed his time. And the guy we've talked about a few times before, Jordan Davis, weak side defensive end, former Alabama commit, 4-star JUCO prospect from Copia Lincoln Community College in Wesson, Mississippi. He is an early enrollee, as is Harrison Bailey.
All right.
The other commits, you just mentioned Jimmy Callaway, athlete, 5'11", 166. Also, Ebony Jackson, a running back, 6'1", 205, also from Marietta, Georgia. Like I said, we love Marietta, Georgia. And let's not forget the number one long snapper in the country, yes. Will Albright, Greenville High, Greenville, Tennessee, 6'2", 200. Number one in the country. He's only a 2-star. I feel like if you're a number one at the position, you should probably get more than 1-star if it's football. So they gave him 2. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I mean, if he's the best of the best and you have to have one on every team, I feel like maybe he should be a 5-star. Maybe he should be our highest-rated recruit. What do I know? Tennessee by state, currently 3 players from the state of Georgia, Bailey, Jackson, Callaway, 2 from Tennessee, and the other Bailey. I made that up. That's actually not true. It's just Will Albright. I'm actually kind of confused because on the list it shows 1 player from Tennessee, but our state breakdown says 2. Is Jordan Davis originally from Tennessee?
No clue.
He might be a mid-state guy.
Memphis. West
he
Tennessee
might
guy.
Be a West State guy.
Once you get to Nashville, it's all kind of bleeds together anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Doesn't count.
No. So Jordan Davis, community college in West Mississippi, but he is from Memphis. And then, as I mentioned, Dominic Bailey, Baltimore, Maryland. 6 commits right now? Does that seem low considering the timeline and how pushed up everything is now?
Because most of the guys are going to be signed December, right? I mean, we're talking this year. Early signing.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
But this is the 2020 class, right?
I mean,
because the February is still the date that they
I guess
with.
I guess a lot of a lot of schools are still in that 5, 6, 7 range. I mean, Georgia's only got 5. Notre Dame, Oklahoma, they're at 6. Florida State's got 7. Yeah. Alabama's already got 14. Clemson with 11, of course.
The top teams have 10 or 11. And you've got what? What'd you say, 6? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, I got to wait and watch them camp again.
You guys don't come to camp, you ain't getting an offer. Well, when they have camp, they would camp last summer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can camp both summers.
Double camp. That was the big issue last year, was none of the seniors would come camp because they all camped as juniors, and Jeremy Pruitt didn't get to see them.
It's also a lot of new coaching staff. I mean, you got to thank you. Both your coordinators are new. They haven't had a chance to watch the guys camp. Your main recruiter that you brought in T. Martin, he hadn't had a chance to watch him camp. He's been out. He was out in Cali. Doubt they're bringing in the same guys over there as they are here.
It seems like Tennessee's in with a lot of really big-time wide receivers, which is good. You're hearing, seems like Tennessee's in with a new 4 or 5-star receiver every single day.
Harrison Bailey effect.
Harrison Bailey, T. Martin, I'll take it.
You're currently 8th in the SEC in recruiting. It does seem super early to be kind of breaking down the rankings, and then all of a sudden it's like, but once the season starts, I mean, you're headed towards that early signing day, and then it goes so fast because you've got games every week, and then all of a sudden it's like the, you know, Thanksgiving hits, mm-hmm. regular season's done, bowl game hopefully, and oh yeah, don't forget, we're signing most of our class coming up here right before Christmas. Missouri and Kentucky have 2 each.
Commits?
Yeah. They're at the bottom. Vanderbilt 3.
It's because no one
4.
Showed up for those spring games, I tell you. Rakeem Jarrett is the 5-star wide receiver that, I don't know, he's been getting some crystal balls to Tennessee lately. He does currently have Ohio State as the leader in the crystal ball predictions at 60%. Tennessee second there with 30%. The name that Tennessee has really kind of shot up the board with lately has been Justin Rogers, 5-star offensive guard. We mentioned him for a brief minute yesterday. Tennessee 39% on the crystal ball, Ohio State 28%, Georgia 22%. Tennessee tied for the lead with Tate Ratledge, offensive tackle, 4-star, 6'6.5". Let's go. 311 pounds. Like those big guys. Tennessee also tied for the lead with Tyler Barron, a name I have honestly not heard until recently. He goes to, I don't know how, he goes to Catholic. I didn't know that. I guess I'm a really bad local guy. But 4-star defensive end, 6'4.5", 255. Tennessee and Virginia Tech are the current leaders, it appears, for Tyler Barron. Man, Bear's going to be really mad at me if he's listening. Like, really mad. Yikes.
Did you mention Rakeem Jarrett?
Literally the first one I started with.
Well, I remembered you talking about Justin Rogers because he was in over the weekend. I couldn't remember if you started with Jared or not.
I did. This was the name that kind of – I saw this one for the first time yesterday. Another wide receiver, 6'167", kind of a little guy. Chris Abrams-Drain from Spanish Fort, Alabama, 4-star. Tennessee currently with 100% of the crystal ball predictions for him. I mentioned Tennessee kind of playing the – long game with quite a few wide receivers. Abrams Drain, Rakeem Jarrett. There have been a few more names kind of tossed around.
What do you think about
– you're going to have to get a couple guys because you got to replace Juwan. We'll see how Ramel Keaton does in the summer. He was kind of a limited participant in spring. That was a guy I really was hoping to see him because I just think he's such a dynamic player.
I mean, he was in the spring game. What do you think?
Well, but I know I'm just saying like he was limited all spring, and I don't think he caught a single pass, did he? I
don't think he caught one.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, missed that one.
It was short and late in the game.
T. Carp tweets in says we still need T. Hodge, running back, Maryville.
He was supposed to be here over the weekend.
I hope so. It's a pretty short trip.
Yeah,
just Alcoa Highway, all the way to town.
Simple.
Do we lead for him? I think we did. Of course, I don't know. They've already got one running back recently committed, and now Elijah Young, all-purpose. Man,
we're talking about Tank. He was here.
This class outside of the offensive linemen, a lot of these guys are small. Like we're going after 5'11" and 6-foot wide receivers, all-purpose backs that are 5'9", 5'10". Don't we need some bigger dudes, bigger guys being dudes. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you can't be an awesome wide receiver or running back at 5'9", 5'10", 5'11". I mean, Dante Stallworth was sensational. Travis Stevens also not very big. But there is something kind of awesome about those 6'3", 220-pound wide receivers that nobody wants to get in front of. I'd like to see a couple guys like that and then maybe another Jeremy Banks-sized running back or two.
T. Hodges, 6'2", 230.
Sign me up. That's what I'm talking about.
Three-star from Maryville, Tennessee.
Just of course. Got to get the local guys.
Are they going to?
Are you going to make a local kid joke?
Well, I mean, when you look at his list.
Oh, boy.
And he's a three-star. And we've talked about all the other running backs they're talking to. And
yeah, but all those Maryville guys are underrated.
The top team on his, one of the other top teams on his, you know, warm list is Kentucky. Hmm. Just makes you wonder if another.
That part of town. Kentucky, okay.
Another situation.
We going Cobb talk? Is that what we're going to throw that one back?
I mean, I'm just saying, when you pass on a kid and they end up at Kentucky, it's.
It was because we told him the truth that, hey, man, dangerous. you're not really gonna play quarterback probably. What's he make all of his money at in the NFL? What did he play? That's what I thought.
Wide receiver.
Damn good wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. But yeah, I think the size of some of these guys is kind of making me nervous. Last year's class, pretty good on size. Big guys.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys seem tiny.
It is early. We'll see.
It is early. Okay. Optimism Tuesday.
Optimism Tuesday.
We're gonna be quick. We're gonna get quick little guys the ball in space. That's the idea. Guys who can make people miss. Quick pass, because we can't block. Two jukes, touchdown. Touchdown.
There's some talk some basketball recruiting on the flip side. There's some news there as well. Good news for Tennessee, or some decisions to make anyway.
Press conference today too.
And there's a press conference with Rick Barnes and Philip Fulmer. So we'll hit that on the flip side as we come back. Final segment. Hour number one, 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one of 3 and Out. Talking some recruiting here at Tennessee. A little football, and now we'll switch to basketball. There's going to be a press conference today, Rick Barnes and Philip Fulmer. I mean, I think the main purpose is to announce Kim English as your new assistant basketball coach. They officially announced him last week. And obviously Rob Lanier has moved on to Georgia State. And so now you're adding Kim English to the staff. And as we talked about a while back.
Is it that, or is it to talk about Rick Barnes' new deal and, like, parade that? I thought the English part was going to be like a – because have they ever done a presser to introduce another assistant? I don't think so.
Good question. It might be both. It might be more what you're saying.
Little column A, little column B.
Here's Rick Barnes. We gave him more money. Like, I don't
– Yeah, no, I –
Feels weird.
I don't know.
Feels odd.
No, I thought the same thing when I saw the announcement about the press conference today. I was like, wait, what's he going to talk about? Maybe this is like a put the fires out type of press conference. Like, hey, a lot of the fans are kind of mad that you even thought about the UCLA job. You need to probably come out here and tell everybody how great this job is. By the way, we gave you a ton of money to do it.
Well, here's the schedule.
Okay.
11 o'clock, Director of Athletics, Philip Fulmer. And then it says 11:15, lunch available. And then 11:45.
The fact that they had to drop in the lunch right after Phil talks. Like, come on. Like, what are we doing?
And then 11:45, it says Rick Barnes and new assistant coach Kim English.
Okay. So that's what's on the menu?
Yeah, does it say what they're having?
No menu. It's a very short email.
All right. No menu.
Or post, whatever you want to call it.
What do they normally get? Chick-fil-A sandwiches, probably? Just a big pile of chicken?
Nah, Petros.
That's too hard to eat for media types. You got to have something you can do one-handed.
Yeah, hot dog,
like a sandwich,
pizza,
hot dog.
That's
yeah,
that's
I agree.
What they have in the press box.
Petro, that's two hands and like a bunch of napkins.
They have the big meal. They have the big
you
meal.
No one drinks a Petro. You're going to be wearing it. You're going to look like an idiot.
Especially.
You get a stain on your shirt? Oof.
I know.
Yeah, I would be like, no, I don't.
You
I don't
never
want
eat
this.
Petros, do you?
Yeah, I love Petros. What's wrong? I love Petros.
No, I'm just saying the stain ability.
I wear a bib. But the stainability on a Petro, through the roof. So many little things that can fall out that'll have sauce on them. Mm. Like one Frito. I don't get tomatoes, but I get jalapenos in there. Jalapeno falls on your shirt.
It's over.
Done. Bury the shirt. You're not getting that stuff out of there. Nah, Petros are good. Sour cream, cheese, chips, chili. Mm-hmm. What more do you need? It's like the perfect little snack. You all right?
It's a little hot.
Mm. Hot coffee for Davey Hudson this
Don't
morning.
Don't spill liquids on the electronics.
Please. Baby. Speaking of spills, guy has a cup with a lid on it. He's about to spill it. You want to drink a Petro.
I wasn't going to spill it. I just was not expecting it to be as hot as it currently is.
So we get to meet Kim English today.
Kim English.
And we get to hear Rick Barnes tell everybody how great the Tennessee job is. I'm okay with that. That's fine. Cool.
But it wasn't about the money.
Are people mad at Rick Barnes? Like, are people still mad, or has that faded?
I think it's faded. I just think
there
it's
were
still
a lot of people. There were a lot of people. Many people were not too thrilled with the idea that he was sniffing around for another job.
I mean,
do we buy, you and me, Davey and Binti, do we buy that this was strictly a UCLA-only type scenario?
No. No.
No?
I think that started it. I think if it was,
does it have to be like a blue blood or
he
former blue
Arkansas,
blood?
You know, like,
well, he told Arkansas to go to hell. He was just like, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, they're in conference too, so if it was, I don't know, Georgia Tech or something.
Clemson wants him back. Is that the dream job in the ACC for him, Clemson?
I don't think so.
I mean, like if a North Carolina, Duke, not those types of schools.
Yeah,
but UCLA is weird because they're not that far removed from being that type of school. I mean, they have been to Final Fours.
Weren't they in the Sweet 16 like 2 years ago?
Yeah. They were in
Same
the Final Four not that long ago
they
either.
They played Kentucky, I believe.
Howland got them there.
So,
but then they had the ball situation, and they lost their way.
Well,
I think you.
Steve Alford's been there for about 5 years.
Well, the whole thing that got Alford had them in the Sweet 16, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing that got the story that was told, that played out, was that he liked the allure of the UCLA job. That's why he listened. Then they made their big offer, and then that he then told Philip Fulmer about it, and that he didn't demand Tennessee beat UCLA's offer, but I mean, he did expect Tennessee to do something, and Philip Fulmer had kind of planned, maybe even offered one thing, and then Randy Boyd said, wait, what are we doing here? Can we up this? Let's get serious. So maybe it wasn't, maybe even Fulmer was trying to find kind of the perfect price point. Randy Boyd said, nah, just overpay him. It's fine. Let's keep him. I mean, Fulmer even talked during the spring game.
I felt good when Boyd was announced as interim president. I'm not going to lie. I was for that move. I'm feeling more for that move after this.
We talked about it. It's like, did you overpay? Yes. Did you have to have him? Or have to keep him, I guess I should say? Also, yes. Like, at that time, you were going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel for coaching candidates.
Could you imagine?
It'd been rough.
I don't even want to think about it. That Monday, like I said, people...
Would Mick Cronin be our new coach? If Rick Barnes had gone to UCLA?
No, because I think we've learned not to go hire people from Cincinnati.
Yeah, we're never going back to Cincinnati.
That's a good point.
Ever.
My wife actually made that point.
But.
No chance.
The whole thing.
What would we have done? Could you? I'm just saying. You're right. It's a lot of money, but it's like, man, I don't want to go through that junk again. You know, Philip Fulmer didn't want to go through another coaching search. Hell, he's just finished two. He had to clean up the John Curry fiasco. Then he has to go get Kelly Jolly Harper. While he's probably interviewing her, he probably got the, hey, Phil, it's Rick. We need to talk text. Like, whatever the number Randy Boyd would sign off on, if I'm Phil, I'm just like, yes. You're buying a lot there. Like, you're buying no fan outrage, which is priceless, by the way. Like, hell, the 1.5 alone will just keep the fans happy. That's fine by me. But then you're not having to deal with the stresses of, as you said, bottom of the barrel coaching search time. Everyone else already hired their guy. That would have been so Tennessee, though. UCLA just stinks at hiring a coach. Like, John Curry would have let Rick Barnes walk, wouldn't he? He said, "No, sorry, I need new paint for the the arena. Like, you're just, you know, we can't pay you that much."
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, he did that with Frank Martin, right? I mean,
yeah, just
then he went to a Final Four somewhere else.
I just wonder if people are. I guess another thing, like, this keeps a lot of schools kind of out of the Rick Barnes market moving forward. If he were to come back, you know, there's we'll talk about it, but there's a couple players that they might be able to still add. One could reclassify and come in this year. If he puts together another good team next year, especially if he were to lose, you know, Kyle, Admiral, Grant, and Jordan Bone, if he puts together a decent tournament team next year, people would say, yeah, this guy can come in and rebuild it and get it right quick. At 4.7, there's a lot of schools who just can't afford Rick Barnes anymore. So you have essentially blocked out a lot of those, not UCLA types, but lower than, who might just say, yeah, we're going to offer him $4 million and see what happens. A lot of schools can go 4. They can't go 4.7 or 5.
Well, we'll kick off hour number 2.
Well, we can, by God.
Get into a little bit of what Philip Fulmer said during the spring game. That ties into basketball recruiting as well.
Did you hear that? Were you watching that? Yeah. I thought he did a great job.
Hour 2, we kick it off next.